Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
We welcome to the microphone here for his monthly visit, Mayor Joe Schember, the Mayor of the City of Erie.
Thank you,
Mayor,
Joel.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Joel. Merry Christmas. Very happy to be here with you.
Okay, you got the tree set. You've got the decorations down in Frontier there. How are you doing on all that?
Nothing. Well, we have
nothing.
No, we have a wreath up on our front door. That's the only thing we've accomplished so far. But one of our kids is coming home Saturday, so I think I need to get the tree up before that.
Well, you could always ask him to help. Right?
True. But, you know, it'd be nice to have it up and then he could help me decorate it or something like that.
Now, what do you guys do? You do artificial?
We have an artificial tree.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yes. I mean, any cats in the house?
No, we have no animals.
Okay.
My wife would never permit us. The kids wanted to get a dog, but no.
Back in the day, yeah. Yes. No.
She knew she'd have to take care of it. So.
That is very, very smart on Rhonda's part. Let's get going here with our conversation and want to get kind of caught up on where the budget process is, because you've been working on this now. Well, you work on it all year, but really it comes together in the last 2 months, right?
That's right. We probably worked on it for a good 2 months, maybe 3 months before we gave the initial draft to City Council to start reviewing. And we've been working on it hard with them for about the last 6 weeks or so. And, you know, we worked hard getting the budget ready. We met with every department and had them propose what they wanted. And we wanted to keep things down. You know, even though inflation's up at like 8.7% this year, we are our budget's only up about 2.5%.
Okay.
And a lot of that is covered with some other funding that we have coming in. So it's worked out pretty good. City Council has already passed the two things that might have been hardest for them to accept. We had a couple of fee increases in there for water and refuse, and they've passed that. We had a long meeting last night, about 2 hours.
That's really
typically what the meetings are with them, and went over a lot with them. And no one has voted yet, but my gut feeling is we'll probably have enough votes to get the proposal implemented. We've made some changes to it as well, as we've learned more, and they've all been reductions in the amount.
Where are you reducing at? Like,
basically, where we can get funding from the federal government or from another source and use that instead of, you know, income money that we have.
Your strategy for public safety, is that all still working as you've seen it, or have you had to make some adjustments that way?
It's moving forward. You know, the bad thing right now is the number of homeless people we have in Erie. I think we have about 1,200, which normally we'll have 1,200 over the course of an entire year.
Yes.
That, for some reason, a lot have been coming from other places. And also, we have a lot of problems in households. They have 8 to 10, police respond to 8 to 10 calls a day for domestic violence going on.
It's incredible.
Yeah, but there's no follow-up on any of that. We're hiring 8 new officers. I believe City Council has already approved that, and they're in the process. We're gonna swear them in next Tuesday, actually. We wanted 9, but there was one we found some problems on the resume. So we'll still be adding another one at some point.
Sure.
But they will become people on the street, officers on the street.
These are the ones that, did you already swear these in?
No.
Or? Okay.
No, these are another new group.
This is another new group.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
So with ARP money, we're adding about 18 officers.
Yes.
And they'll be paid with ARP through 2026, through December 31st, 2026. And we're trying to increase revenue, not by raising taxes, but by bringing more people to Erie.
Right.
We want to do that. But we've basically said we're not going to use revenue to pay for these new officers. Mm-hmm. So if we'll know probably by 2024, are we going to have enough money coming in to cover them? We actually have had, I believe it was Erie Insurance, offer to pay for one of them after they come out. And we're also looking for other people that might be willing to do that, other local businesses.
Adopt an officer kind of thing?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. And so, you know, this will allow us to respond to domestic violence that occurs. Rather than just solve the immediate problem, these officers would go back to these places, talk to the people, and try to prevent it from happening
again. So they would have specialized training is what it sounds
like. That's correct. And they're all existing officers that have been on the job for years. And so the new people we hire will be taking their place on the street. And then these guys will be working on that. And they'll also be working with the homeless to try to get them into homes and get them off the street as well.
I think you've talked about this before, but I want to make sure I'm understanding. On right now, as far as all the collective bargaining agreements, they're set for now, right? And so you're working on this, the staffing levels on police side. Where are you at on the fire side, I guess?
Fire side, I think we're pretty stable there. I believe the fire department is pretty happy with what they've got. Mm-hmm. They could always use more people. I mean, I think most departments
everybody
could do
would,
that. Yes,
would like
everybody
that.
Could find something. But I believe they're in pretty good shape and very pleased with how they're doing.
Public Works and, sewer, that whole area there.
Yes.
Talk about staffing levels in... That's kind of do you have trouble recruiting in those places?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe my experience is just about everything we have trouble recruiting in.
Which is so different from what we grew up with, Mayor.
It certainly is. But I think that's not unique to us. It's not even unique to Erie. It's across the country.
Amazing.
That exists right now. For some reason, there aren't a lot of people that want to work in the United States right now.
It's
I don't
incredible.
Quite understand it, but
wow.
Yeah. Yes.
You got your headphones on. Let's grab a phone call. You are live with Mayor Joe Schember here on Talk Erie.
Good afternoon there, Mr. Mayor.
Good afternoon.
Hey, you said you're hiring. There's 8 officers that are going to be hired, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And now you also said there's going to be a family crisis unit. And is the juvenile division... going to be kicked off with them officers also?
I'm not. I'd have to ask Chief Spazzarni. I think the juvenile division has already been kicked off again. We hired some more. Go ahead.
So those 8 are going to be strictly family crisis?
Family crisis, but also homeless. And they obviously, any police officer could do anything as needed. So.
Well, absolutely.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty well aware of that. That's the old 201 unit from way back in the day. It was called the Family Crisis Unit. They handled family domestic disputes, suicidal patients, and they probably now they would handle the homeless. You know, that anything that's pretty much non-criminal, so to speak.
Yes, yeah, and we'll have 2 of them on.
So
24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
So it's going to be that was going to be my follow-up question. It's going to be all 3 shifts.
Correct.
Second and third shift.
Yeah, every day of the week, yes.
Okay, right, okay. All right, that's all I got for you. Thanks,
okay.
Paul. Have a good Christmas.
Thanks for the call.
Alrighty,
you too.
Thank you. It is important, and we have that track record. You know, before the budget really crashed and burned, 10 years ago or more, maybe closer to 20, right?
I mean, and the debt was pushed off, and we solved that problem.
But a lot of these things where we're able to have the specialists go in and have better outcomes from the law enforcement point of view, we're kind of catching up again.
Yes, we are, and there's some very good long term strategies going on right now as well. You know, the Tom Lennox and the Erie Police Athletic League.
Right.
It's incredible the relationship they're building with kids. I go around with them. In fact, next week I'll be going from, I think it's Tuesday from 4 to 9 o'clock at night. We're going around and taking small little gifts to the kids that are in their Police Athletic League program.
Wow.
And the relationship I see between these kids, which are almost all minorities, and the police is really incredible. I mean, it's very close. I usually can't get a word in edgewise until things settle down a little bit.
Sure, sure.
But then I always ask the kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? And up to this, I haven't done it this year yet, but the last couple of years when I've done it, 40 to 45% of them said they wanted to be a police officer.
Yeah.
Men, women, boys, girls, and mostly people of color. That's very, very encouraging.
Is Sergeant Lennon also, reaching out? I think at one point we were talking about that you almost have to go to the military bases, or people that yes. might have recently gotten out of
Absolutely.
The Army and Navy and so on. How does that work?
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of that still. And we do hire new police or take applications for policemen every year. It used to be every other year. We moved it up to every year. And he's very active in that as well.
Right.
He gets around mostly kind of in this area, like in Pennsylvania, Ohio, New York. He gets to military bases and talks to people that are nearing retirement about the opportunity to become an Erie policeman.
Talk about investments in the equipment. Again, when I see Public Works, for example, trucks, they seem to be in decent shape.
Yeah.
Has there been like a series of improvements of the technology and of the equipment?
Yes, I think the technology and all that has improved, but we've also set aside a reasonable amount of money to buy every year so that we don't have to put it off, and
right.
then spend a bunch of money. We try to do it equally, bring in new fire trucks, new police cars, and all that.
What about things like right now you have that big water money that you're tapping into. Of course, you have ARP money.
Yes.
Do we still have like a big debt that you're paying on, or how recently have we floated a bond issue? I guess my question is,
we have not done one while I'm in office,
okay,
and my staff knows I don't want to do it.
You don't want to do a bond.
Don't want to do bonds because it's more costly because then you got to pay interest on the bond.
100%. Yeah.
And we've applied for and we've been having success getting grants. I think so far this year we've had about $30 million in new grants to the city for different projects. Yes, very very proud of that, and so we continue to try to do that and to it's just we want to make Erie better long term. And another thing I don't want to do is have to raise taxes. And I can't promise I'll never raise taxes, but that's my goal. We think we probably will make it through at least next year without a need to do that. But we're trying to bring, what's going on here in your area in downtown is incredible. Just to attract people here and places for people to live. I think by the time they're done, they're going to have like 125 new apartments
I think
in
so.
Downtown
yeah.
Erie.
Well, you were just on that tour
yes,
last
on
week,
that,
right?
Yeah, that's what we just learned. And
wow.
that's very, very exciting. And I know a lot of the new people that have moved into the 35 or how many there are here now, a lot of them have come from out of town. And
they've
born and raised here. They're retired now and they came back to be in Erie.
That whole boomerang generation.
Yes.
That's kind of cool. So we talked about public safety, Mayor, when it comes to the budget. Let's talk about some of the trouble spots that council has been asking you a lot about. What are some of the things that seems to be points of contention, if you would?
One of the real problems is they want a lower than number of expenses, but they're not telling us where to do it.
Okay.
They're talking about, I think there may even be a proposal on their budget for Wednesday to direct us to lower the expected expenses by $2 million. And we can't do that because when we first started working on the budget with the department heads, and we worked on it again for a couple months, and it was a lot of meetings with them. We met more than once with every department head. First, we had them tell us what they wanted.
Yeah.
And it was, we had about a $6 million deficit based on that. And we said, that's way too much.
Mm-hmm.
We cut it back by $3 million. To a $3 million deficit, which we could cover with funding we had still available from the Water Authority deal. I think they're going to have it on that to direct us to lower expenses by $2 million, but they're not going to tell us how to do it, and we're just going to say, hey, you have to tell us.
Yeah, show us where the fat is. Yeah.
We met with them last night, had a good about a two-hour meeting, went over a lot of things. Renee Lamas did a great job in that. I was there as well. And she has identified almost $500,000, and half of that we've already that's reducing the expenses by $500,000. Half of that we've already implemented. The other half we think we'll probably implement it, but we can't really claim to have implemented it yet because we haven't. But so those are things we're looking to implement in this budget and get it down another $500,000. If they make changes to department expenses, the amount they have available, it's going to be making a very hard year. And I don't know of any department that can get through with less than what they have budgeted.
I think, could there be a larger conversation, though? And just follow me a second here, because, I mean, we have seen significant decreases on who lives here. So there's less people that are are asking for services, and I'm sure you have a pushback on that, but follow me for a second.
Sure.
I mean, when you go from when I was born, 140,000 people in the city,
yes,
and now with 95,000 or whatever number it happens to be,
yeah,
you would think that even though with inflation that numbers could be stabilized, yet this is the largest budget in our history. And yeah. So the question, it just begs the question, if there's less people, why are we spending so much for government?
Well, I just think expenses have gone up like that. You know, look at what happened with gas. When I was a kid, gas was 19 cents
sure.
a gallon. You know, now it's up, it's under four. It's come down. It was up to almost $5 a gallon. Now it's, I think, like 3.88 or something like that.
Are we doing services that people aren't asking for?
No, absolutely not. We're doing what people are asking for, what they need. And, you know, the main areas we work in are fire, police, you know, protecting people, and then public works and all the work they do, plowing and, you know, cutting grass certain places.
A little bit of parks and
taking
rec.
Taking care of our parks, yes,
yeah.
All that. So everything, there's nothing we could say, hey, we don't have to do that anymore.
Right, okay.
But if city council wants us to save money, they should tell us what to stop doing. And we'll stop, but then blame it on them because they're the ones that made
right,
us not
right.
do that anymore.
That's so interesting. You mentioned at the top of the show a concern about homelessness.
Yes.
And are you, and I would imagine in the law enforcement space, are you saying that some of these specialized teams will be there to address that? I mean, are you looking to mitigate vagrancy and so on?
Yes, we are. We're looking to, we want to reduce homelessness. We want to get people, and homeless people, I know, I don't have a lot of experience with them, mm-hmm. but I know they're difficult to deal with because you've got to build a relationship. It takes
yeah.
time. And that's what, you know, the eight officers, and there'll be one more as well in this one we can hire, you know, when they come on, they're going to take the place of existing officers who will leave the streets and will be working with the homeless in much detail. And we'll have at least 3 years of being able to do that. Again, they're being paid for by our grant money, and that will run out at the end of 2026.
Yeah.
And I've said that we're never going to use taxpayer money for this, existing taxpayer money. But my goal is I want to raise that. And help us to cover the expense of that.
Do you feel like that maybe you could use your bully pulpit to bring in more housing or more like a more permanent solution to some of this? Or I mean, what's the communication like with the nonprofits and the home team and all these people that are out there providing services?
Yeah,
it's
very good. We're talking with them a lot, and you know, there's a. I can't think of the name of the new group that just formed. I'm drawing a blank.
But it's bringing attention to all this.
Actively involved, and they've got I want to say about 30 or 40 projects, and some of them are going to cost millions of dollars to do. Some are a couple hundred thousand.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking forward to working with them on those, and that's addressing exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody wants to see, especially if we're talking about veterans and things, we want very good solutions to these issues.
Absolutely.
As opposed to, you know, hey, let's just keep them at arm's length or what have you. But
there do seem to be a lot of veterans in the homeless.
Is there,
men and women. And it's, I think if you've been up to war or to a mm-hmm. battle, it really has a big impact on you, and it's hard to adjust once you've gotten back. There have been a lot of movies and things made about that, but there's a lot of truth to that.
In the same token, there are several juveniles that are homeless, or their families are homeless, or they're couch surfing with friends, or taken in from another family's parents. It's remarkable some of the things that we're dealing with here in our city.
Yes, it is. I think over the year, this year, almost half of the major crimes were committed by juveniles here in Erie. I might be a little off on the numbers,
but it makes you wonder if there's no governing force at home.
Right, and that's the problem.
You
don't have. I was lucky; I had two great parents that loved me and took care of me and disciplined me when I needed it.
Yeah.
But not everybody's got that, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's going to take a lot of different resources, and folks are coming to bear to help things out. Mayor, DEI is a hot topic all around our community here, And we have a question that was texted to us before our segment here. Question for the mayor. With all the controversy with Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Commission that Erie County government established with $3.5 million, why hasn't the city of Erie contributed to basically an Erie project? And we had talked a little bit about this last time, but remind us of what your feeling is on all that.
Well, we have no funding that we can use for that sort of thing. However, we have we've done a lot to really help the needy in Erie. There was a group, of course, I can't remember the name, of course.
Yeah.
They operate in Pittsburgh, and they came up here too, and they're over at 10th and Liberty in that area. And they work with usually a dozen or so people a year, and they go through like a year and they're people that aren't real well off. A lot of women are involved, men as well. We funded them to provide the funding so that they can work with these people and move them forward. And I've been to a couple graduation ceremonies of the group, and it's really good to see it's really positive what's going on there. So we try to help any way we can.
I think they're talking specifically about the Diverse Erie Commission, that is a county commission.
Yes.
And that the county has funded.
Yes.
And I think it really kind of galled a couple of county councilmen that a member of city council came to a meeting calling Erie a racist city, yet they were doing it in the county sphere. And the chairman, Brian Shank, says, well, if you have a question about the city, the mayor is over here. It was something that you would have attended to.
Yes, yes.
So what was your take on that whole exchange there? Because it was pretty controversial.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense to me, to be honest. And I didn't have a chance to talk about that at all at the time. And that's a while ago, so it's hard for me to remember. But, you know, we were there, and, you know, originally council had designated $7 million to go to that. But
you're talking about county council.
County council, yes.
Right.
But that's been reduced to 3.5. And if you were talking to me tomorrow, I would probably be able to speak a little bit more knowledgeably about this.
Okay.
But
have another meeting?
I'm having lunch tomorrow with, what the heck's his name? Wait a minute. It's next week, I must
say. Okay.
Tomorrow's Saturday, so
yeah,
I'm not having lunch tomorrow. But let me see here. I'm having trouble finding.
No, you're fine.
I apologize. Yeah.
But is it one of the executives with Diverse Erie, or is it?
It's the fellow that runs, that's managing that $3.5 million.
Okay, talking about Gary Lee.
Thank you.
So he's the CEO. Yeah, he's the executive director of Diverse Erie.
And we've kept in close touch. You know, I've known him since he was.
He was Kathy's.
Kathy Dahlkemper's
administrator.
But we, you know, we worked together. We've been to lunch a couple times together already since he started. And I haven't talked to him since all this controversy kind of kicked up. And he asked to go to lunch next week, and so we're going to do that.
I mean, you have a diversity officer on your cabinet, Michael Outlaw. You have you have an outreach to new Americans in Neakin.
Yes.
I mean, you're kind of walking the walk, but the question that I think that's out there is, why should the county be paying for DEI to this degree, where there's grant letting and so on, and the city doesn't have any skin in the game? That's the question.
But I do think we have a lot of skin in the game, because, you know, we're paying the salaries of the people, and they're doing a great job of getting more minorities, for instance, into the police, into the fire, that sort of thing. So I do think we're doing all we can, and it is a financial commitment as well.
Yeah. Let's talk about another item that has come up. Since you were last here, we talked to Councilman Nelson, and he was talking about, you know, the idea that that comparatively, and I asked you this question before, but I want to hear it, what your thoughts are again.
Yep.
You know, comparatively, Erie has like 11 positions in your cabinet. And typically, cities of our size, third class cities of our size, might have 4 or 5 positions, and you had said to me that you consider that the communications department is a separate department, not as part of the cabinet. Do we really need four people in the communications department?
I think we do. They're working hard. They're doing really good work.
Who is all that? I mean, what do they do?
Michael Outlaw, Nika Nastari Carpenter.
In the they're in the communications department?
That's the new department we're forming, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought this would be more of what Frank Stramella was doing and so on. Tell me how you divide up your fifth floor, I guess, would be a good question.
How I divide them up?
Yeah.
I just look at us all working together.
Right. But is there 11 up there?
Yeah, they're not all right up there. But, obviously Renee Lamus, chief of staff, is there. And we have two administrative assistants kind of handling the phone and questions. And then Aaron Lonkey, who has Celebrate Erie and that sort of thing. Nika Nastari Carpenter.
Michael
Outlaw. We have our the head of our planning, the new head of our planning department, Kathy's Rosdick's place.
I don't think we've met them yet.
He's up. Okay. Yeah. He's upstairs. I think that's about it. I'm not sure how many that is total.
Right. But, yeah. Okay.
I don't think we're that much different than any other city, to be honest.
So you would push back on Councilman Nelson's idea that we're top heavy.
Yeah, I don't think we are. Yeah. We, everybody that works for me is working hard and doing important work.
Right. And are they like working administrators or do they have staff too? Like,
most of them are working. We share the same two secretaries with everybody, but nobody has any other help at this point.
One of the other things that came up last time around, I think actually Chuck might have called in when you were here last time.
We were
talking about parking. So where did that all shake out? Do you know?
Well, I think it's moving forward well, with the new parking lot across the street.
But as far as have our parking fees gone up? Has that all been approved?
I think that they voted on that and approved it. I believe they did. And we'll still net the same amount. But I know where they've gotten a lot of negative feedback is the first fee went from $15 to $30 when you first get it. So,
Now, do you have veto power?
I do have veto power, yes.
Have you vetoed anything?
No, I've not vetoed anything yet in 5 years.
So nothing that's come across your desk has everything's been negotiated beforehand that you feel like you guys are kind of working together?
We've tried to create a good relationship with a city council. I go to the evening meetings, Ray goes to the morning meetings. So there's two meetings a year, and we sit in with them, we talk to them. We both of us were at all of the budget sessions that took place over the last 6 weeks here. So we try to be accessible to them.
Yeah.
In the past, we've had monthly meetings with them as well. That kind of went away during the pandemic.
Right.
We're trying to get that started back up again. We haven't been successful yet. We've had a couple meetings, but we only had one or two in attendance, so it was, but we do want to get that going next year again as well.
I wanted to ask you because I know that you're a standing member on this Erie's Inclusive Growth, this playbook, right?
Yeah, Infinite Erie.
Infinite Erie.
That's what it's called.
Yes. Gotcha. Anything happening with that? It's been at least in my. I mean, I usually know about stuff, and it's been kind of quiet to me anyway.
Yeah, nothing specific. I mean,
because this launched 6 months ago already.
Yes, and there's some things that we're already doing that are, it's stuff we already have in process. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's not just for the city, but I think it's countywide as well. But it is moving forward. I go to meetings. The meetings usually go from 3:30 to 5:30. And we usually have at least one a month. And they're still trying to kind of get their feet below them and decide for sure what, of all these projects, what are the best ones they should be focusing on and how are they going to pay for them and that sort of thing.
We haven't talked in a while about LIRTA, and it comes up a lot when I'm talking to people about economic development and real estate investment and so on as being really kind of a game changer for people that are willing to put a lot of dollars to play.
Yes.
What's your take on that? I mean, are we still kind of making incremental progress?
Yeah, we are. We've done about $202 million in LIRTA approvals.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and basically LIRTA is very attractive. If you want to make an improvement to your home, that's going to increase the value. If you file for LIRTA, you don't have to pay any city, county, or school district income tax or real estate tax for 10 years on that improvement in the value.
Right.
And the same's true on the commercial side, except you do have to pay 10% of school districts.
On the commercial side,
tax increase,
yeah.
On the commercial side only, but nothing to the county or the city. So we're very excited about that. I could tell you, I look at it every week, and for the last about 2 months, we haven't made much progress. A couple months ago, was when we made it over to the $200 million mark with new projects. It's kind of slowed down now, probably because we're heading into the winter.
Right,
but
right.
I hope it will pick up again in the spring.
And do you ever have conversations with developers and things that this is a strong tool in our toolbox?
Absolutely. We try to promote that as much as we can and encourage people to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
We've had
a couple great conversations with your historical preservation guy, Chris.
Yes.
And it's fascinating because, again, let's face it, Mayor, you started with there was no planning department.
Right.
And now you have a city planner, you have a historical preservation expert. You know, you're getting these grants and things like that. What's your take on, like, you know, removing blight, keeping these important buildings solid, and I feel like Chris is really working on is public input, like making sure that there's a strong city conversation about all this.
He really is. He had three meetings earlier this week. One was Monday night, and then Tuesday.
Did you go to any of that?
I got to two of the three. The one Monday
with the
night,
consultant one.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I couldn't make the Monday night because I had another thing scheduled night. But I got to the Tuesday daytime and the Tuesday evening one, and there was really good response at both of those.
Is that great?
And
wow.
they really are trying to make Erie better. Plus, these were people that have done a lot of projects already in Erie and want to do more. So we're really happy with that.
I'm going to throw a curveball here at the end of our conversation.
Okay.
You always can count on me for that.
Absolutely.
Right? you know, we've talked about this dichotomy of youth versus kind of the seniors on city council. You have a diverse administration.
Yes.
You've got young guys up there. You've got older folks and in between. But something that concerns me is like we're seeing, like, for example, Patrick Fisher, who's the head of Erie Arts and Culture. He's leaving and more than likely leaving town.
Yes.
And it's like, gosh, how do we keep really amazing leaders like that engaged and staying here in Erie?
Yes.
What's your heartfelt thoughts on all of that?
Well, I know a lot of people I talk to that come to Erie are really, really impressed with it and really feel, you know, they want to be here. But
your kids have moved away too. My kids have moved
away. That's right.
It's tough.
It is. My kids come back a lot. You know, they'll be back for at least a week at Christmas.
Sure.
They're back for a week at Thanksgiving. And they actually call every night. We talk.
Do they really?
Yeah, we
That's
talk.
Really
I'm not
nice.
Always there, but my wife at least always talks to them every
her.
Night. So it's a good thing. And I want to attract more people to Erie. As I might have mentioned earlier already, I was at the New American swearing-in today. In the morning, there were two of them. We swore in 110 new Americans here in Erie today. And typically we do about 500 a year and I go to all of them and welcome them. And I'm very, very, very impressed with that.
And so do you think that between immigrants and homegrown kids and maybe boomerangs, we can maybe turn the tide is it going to take some new thinking on how we approach, commerce and how we approach jobs in this town?
Yeah. I'm always open to new thinking, but there's a lot of good things in Erie right now, like just the cost of living is a lot cheaper
Absolutely.
Than larger towns. And, you know, people see that and they like it. And I think a lot of people that were born and raised here and moved out of town for jobs eventually regretted it and came back and may not have been till retirement. But I'm hoping one or both of our kids may come back at some point as well.
I think it's going to take some continued forward momentum and really maybe some more disruption. I mean, that's a great thing about some of these new, these young leaders that they're disruptors. They're kind of, they're challenging the status quo. One of the things that, you know, that comes up a lot in our conversations is broadband. And I know that we have cable modems, and we have some VNet, but it's not happening fast enough.
You're right.
For, you know what I mean? Yes. I mean, you agree, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Yeah. Let's see if we can sneak one more call in.
Okay.
Hey, caller, I got one more minute with the mayor here. Go ahead.
Okay, here's something you could put in your hat to think about it, Mayor.
Okay.
City regulations, there's a lot of fees, you know, they say fees are basically another tax, a ton of them, one of which was my wife and I had to have a water service put in probably 15, 20 years ago. The city made the plumber post a bond for every square foot that they had to dig up. Now, those kind of regulations are
development.
They chase people away. That kind of stuff right there. There's a lot you can handle. One of the first things that how Trump got things rolling in the nation was he cut regs and he started. I mean, the economy took off like a rocket. Yeah. People, I had a hard time finding a plumber that wanted to do it. So, anyway.
Wow. Thanks for the call. Bye. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yep. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Do you feel like Erie's overregulated?
I guess I don't think we're overregulated. I think we probably should look at...
Something that you should periodically
yes,
be
absolutely.
Reviewing the regs.
Yes.
Make sure that
they
make sense.
I have no problem with that. Yes, it does. Good
well,
sense.
So I wish you a very Merry Christmas, Mayor.
Same to you,
yeah,
your family.
I mean, you know, we might be getting some snow for Christmas Eve. That'll be cool.
Yes.
Where do we find you on Christmas Eve? Do you have a tradition? Do you go to midnight mass or anything like that?
No, we'll be home.
Okay, you'll be home.
Yes. With all our kids. And yeah.
That's fantastic. Yes. Fantastic.
Thank you.
All the best to you, sir.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Okay.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@TalkErie.com.